Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Him who is the resurrection and the life, Him who lives and reigns, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Usually on this Sunday, dear friends, you hear lots of sermons on Thomas and his trouble in believing. This Sunday, we're going to use the unlikely text of the day. And that text is from Acts chapter 4, which reveals the Holy Spirit truly working in the hearts of those who heard the good news of the resurrection. Fruit was born in their hearts. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things belonged to him and was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Thus far, our text. Indeed, dear friends, it did happen. It did happen. There was once a mother who wanted to teach her daughter about the grace of giving. The grace of giving, like God gave to us out of grace, saved the world. Wanted to teach her daughter of the grace of giving, and so before a certain church service, she gave to her daughter a dollar bill and a quarter. And said to her daughter, one of those belongs to you, and I want you to decide which one does. And whichever one it is, I want you to put the other one into the collection plate when it comes across in church. That thing everyone's scared of, leery of. And so the church service went by. And the mother didn't watch the child, but afterwards she asked her daughter, so, which one did you decide to place into the collection plate? The dollar or the quarter? Well, the little girl said, the pastor said that God loves a cheerful giver, and so I realized in that moment what it is that would make me cheerful. And so because of that, I decided to put the quarter into the plate. And so I did. Indeed, dear friends, kind of hard to be a cheerful giver sometimes, isn't it? Isn't it? It's kind of hard to be a cheerful giver. That requires, what, a heart filled with generosity. Generosity in our land. Generosity. Indeed. That's not always man's heart, is it? Man's heart is often somewhat selfish. Takes the best piece of pizza on the table, hoards things, takes the biggest one. Indeed, man can be a little bit selfish when he takes things for himself in this world. And all we need to do to see his selfishness is look at the proliferation of what? Of garage sales across America. Springtime coming and garage sales everywhere. It's like every other house turns into a Walmart all of a sudden. And cars that are no longer parked in the driveways because the garage, well, that are parked in the driveways because the garages are full of stuff. Indeed, a proliferation of materialism in our land. It's a land of many possessions, isn't it? A land that lives by the code, he who has the most toys wins. But what did Jesus say? Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. For Jesus knows that possessions leave. And we don't have ultimate or eternal satisfaction in them. How beautiful, dear friends in Christ, when you see the opposite in our world. How beautiful it is when you see someone with a truly generous heart. Someone who gives to the world, who gives to the world, not just when the cameras are on, not just when the public fundraisers are held and the celebrities are out saying to everyone, look at me, look at what I'm doing. But someone who truly gives when the cameras are off, someone who truly gives of themselves when there is no recognition whatsoever, when there is no public spotlight to be placed upon them, someone for whom giving is truly a way of life. We see it developing, growing, bursting out of the book of Acts today. We see the fruit of the Spirit growing, the product of the joy of the resurrection bursting forth from their hearts. The early Christians indeed had something going on in their hearts driven by that Spirit of God. But the early Christians began to take care of one another in absolutely amazing, amazing ways. How beautiful that was in stark contrast to our world today. For yes, indeed, the Holy Spirit was doing His work. He was capturing the hearts of many through the power of the living gospel. Jesus has risen. He has burst forth from the tomb. He has conquered our eternal enemy, sin and death and hell. He has provided for us a right relationship with God, a sacrifice that has forgiven the world. They heard the message, were stricken by the Spirit, filled with His fire. And it wasn't long before the fruits were growing. And it was happening to many of them, people of different economic standings, different levels in life, rich and poor alike, all of a sudden started looking past these barriers and loving one another, taking care of one another. It was an amazing moment of the Spirit's work. They were doing the unthinkable. They were doing the unthinkable that would probably shock many modern Americans. They were selling their goods. They were selling the things that they had. They were selling even their land in order to help one another. They were selling even, in some cases, their homes to help one another, to take care of one another, to show the love of Jesus Christ bursting from their own hearts to one another. Wow. Now that's generosity. That's the power of the resurrection in concrete form. Generous hearts burst forth. Now friends, there are some that at times have used this to maybe defend a kind of Christian communism that really we shouldn't own anything. I've heard that a time or two, but when you look at the Bible in its totality, that's not really what it's teaching. For God, you see, He's not opposed to us owning a home, not opposed to us owning a nice car, perhaps. He's not opposed to us having some possessions. For God is a God who blesses. We see the life of Abraham. We see the life of Job in certain places. We see the lives of others where God truly has blessed, and He blesses us for the enjoyment of life. But what God is opposed to, you see, is when we take the material world and turn it into our God, when we take the material world and place it ahead of God, when we take all the material things that are all around us, the explosion of products and everything that there is, and we begin to worship these things in our own hearts, and idolatry is born. No, God says, for don't you know, you shall have no other gods before me. That's what was so beautiful in the book of Acts. They were throwing away the worship of the material world. Being filled with the Spirit, they were throwing away that worship of the material world and loving one another. And indeed, this came about because something was working in their hearts. This came about because of the sheer grace of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was working in their hearts. They learned that they had a God who was not a taker, but a giver. They learned of their giving God, how He gave His one and only Son to rescue a fallen world. How Jesus came and gave his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for all. They learned of how Jesus came and provided a work of propitiation, that divine currency that pays for every sin and gives freedom and gives forgiveness and gives joy. They learned of the grace of God. They learned of a mighty rising that proved that God accepted that sacrifice. They learned of how the tomb was conquered, how death was destroyed, how there is a victory in Jesus in Easter. And through the power of the Spirit, how that victory began to work within them. They were saved by grace. And it burned in their hearts. All this was given at no cost to them. At no cost to them. It was a free gift from above, a free gift from heaven. They were saved by grace. And they couldn't help but show it in the fruit of their daily lives. They couldn't help but show it in the way they love one another. They couldn't help but show it in their mighty proclamation. But they went out into the streets with great power, the text says. They proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus, and grace was upon them all. Indeed, the Holy Spirit had worked. Had worked a mighty work. Turned them into servants. Turned them into people filled with the love of Jesus to such a degree that that love couldn't help but pour over into the lives of all that were around. Taking care of one another, they loosened the grips, their tight grips on their wallets. And trusted in God. Reminds me of a story I read not long ago of a wealthy attorney who was visiting the peninsula of Korea, South Korea, I believe. And as he was seeing the sights, as he was making his way through the countryside, he took any number of pictures. All at once, he happened to run across a young boy who was pulling a steel plow through the dirt. And behind him was his elderly grandfather guiding the reins, stirring that plow. And he was amused a bit by the sight. I don't see this where I come from too often. And so he took his phone out and took a picture. I'm going to save this one. Show what's happening over there. It was later that week that he ran into a man who was a missionary. And he happened to take out the picture and showed him the picture. And looking at the picture, the missionary said, "Oh yes, I do know them. They're very poor farmers. Very poor. And now they're even poorer." "Why is that?" the attorney said. "Well, they're even poorer now because they sold their only ox in order to build a little church building for their fellow Christians to meet in so it wouldn't rain on them when they gathered in God's house to receive his word." Indeed, the love of Christ makes you do crazy things, doesn't it? The love of Christ moves you to do incredible things. The fruit of the Spirit was working in them, causing them to be generous beyond what most people were, and how Paul was amazed at the generosity of the Macedonians, giving beyond what they could give. Generosity is a beautiful thing in the heart, and it fills the heart of our God. He is a generous God, a God of love, a God who saves, a God who redeems, a God who forgives. And that generosity, that love, burns within our hearts as well. For how beautiful is it when we have a generous heart? Oh, not just in a little tiny moment when a gold plate is passed, but so many other times when we are allowed to visit a sick person or spend some time with someone who is grieving, or give a grocery cart to someone who is hungry, or perhaps take someone to a doctor's appointment, or maybe help someone in the school. The list goes on and on. The joy of giving. The joy of generosity. Lived and burned in the hearts of those early Christians. And they loved one another. And they took care of one another. Not because they had to. Not because they were under compulsion. Not because anyone was arm-twisting them. Not because the cameras were on and the news teams were covering the hurricane. But because they were new creatures in Jesus Christ, in whom lived the resurrection. For indeed, He is risen. Is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds forever in Him who lives and reigns, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.